Welcome to Doomscroll. I'm Matt Sheffield.
And I'm Lisa Curry. And today we're doing a little bit of a different episode because as this is dropping, I am in London. Yeah, I'm trying to think on what date it's going to be. And the time difference is a little wonky and I'm over there to do shows and a festival. And so it's going to be a little crazy. And I also wanted to showcase you, Matt.
Well, and it's with some evergreen content, basically.
Yeah.
why don't you tell people about the festival?
So by the time this comes out, the festival will have passed, but I do this festival every year in Macunthlaith, Wales called Mac Fest. It's very cool. This will be my fifth year going back. I was the first American invited to perform in the fest. And I'm doing my new hour there. And then I go down to London to do shows at Top Secret Comedy Club, which is my favorite. And then I'm back. And when this drops next Wednesday, that following Saturday, the 11th, I will be opening for Todd Barry in the Netflix is a Joke Festival at Dynasty Typewriter at 4 p.m. that Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. So you got to come out if you're in Los Angeles.
Yep. Should be fun. But in the meantime, though, yeah, we're going to do something a little bit evergreen for this episode. And it's about my former career as a right-wing political consultant and related to one aspect of that, I guess, which is the time that I worked in right-wing comedy. And all I have left, actually, literally, is a t-shirt.
That's really funny.
In my closet.
So Matthew is in the midst of writing a memoir about his time. Yep. Well, about growing up fundamentalist Mormon, and then your move into right-wing politics. And mm-hmm. You just allowed me to read the proposal, and it is wild. It is so fascinating. And I am not, my family, I wouldn't say is fundamentalist, but my mom's side of the family is very Catholic and very right wing as a result of their religious views. And it was fascinating to read in the proposal about some of the machinations of the Republican Party and how they're deliberately deceptive and they're completely full of shit. And it's alarming to know how much my family knows that that is true. So I don't know. I don't really have a direct question or a pointed question, but do you want to speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's honestly a little hard for people who haven't seen this stuff firsthand. It's hard to conceive the idea that there is that the one of America's two major political parties acts entirely in bad faith in everything that they do, and that they don't have any real principles, that the only thing that they believe in is power. But at the same time, they have a voter base that, you know, is completely nuts in terms of religious fundamentalism. And I kind of saw that whole tension firsthand. There's a lot of people out there that they've got these crazy, weird beliefs, but they don't wear it on their sleeves. And so if you know them in some other context, you really wouldn't know that this is they think the earth is flat, or I don't know, that humans didn't evolve, things like that.
Well, some humans haven't evolved, to be fair. How is it, do you think, that you had the presence of mind to change your viewpoints? Because I think a lot of people that get sucked into that world, and I've seen this with my family and I've seen this with some friends that I've grown up, they just become hardened in those beliefs rather than coming away from that.
Well, I think in my case, it's that I always want to be, you know, correct. I don't want to be wrong. I hate being wrong. And so to some degree, the beginning of the end for me, at least on the Republican side, was that I decided I was going to start reading liberal writers so that I could debunk them and criticize them. So like with the idea that that I would quote some stuff they said, and then I'd say, and here are the facts. I was going to fact check them. Mm-hmm. But then the more I started doing that, the more I started realizing, oh, I don't have any facts against them on this point. that kept happening.
Do you remember something specific? Like what was something early on where you didn't think you could refute it?
Yeah, well, one of them was this idea that, and of course now it sounds so ridiculous when I'm about to say it, but you know, a lot of Republicans mm-hmm. really believe that cutting taxes increases revenue for the government. And they're basing that on the idea that when you have like a sale, for instance, of your business, retail business, and you have a sale on mm-hmm. products, sometimes you can increase your revenue by cutting your price. But of course, if you cut your prices to nothing or to less than what it costs you to buy the stuff that you're trying to sell, then you're going to go out of business. And so I was trying to figure out, well, what evidence is there that cutting taxes increased revenue? I couldn't find a single example of that.
I feel like if your examples are actually zero, then there's your answer right there. It also just doesn't make sense because it's like, okay, well, you can nickel and dime me or anyone else making like 40K a year. And what? You can tax me at 40%. You can probably maybe buy two stop signs with that. I mean, the thing that drives me nuts also, and sorry, there's no jokes in this yet. The thing that drives me nuts also is that conservatives want the rich to not pay very high taxes. But then at the same time, they talk about like how America used to be innovative and used to, we built the interstates, we did this, and it's like, we built the interstates at a time when the tax on the wealthiest people was like something like 96, 97%. Like the wealth tax was so high. It's like, how do you think we built the fucking interstates? It wasn't housekeeper taxpayer tax money.
And all these buildings that you say you love. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, you could maybe buy somebody lunch who's building the interstates with my taxes. I mean, and at that point, fuck it, I'll buy it for them myself. But you can't have the America that they've idealized. You can't have the America that they've idealized and also not fund it. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. There were other issues like that as well. One of the things that played a role in my leaving the right wing was that I was doing a syndicated television show, which it was a conservative comedy show. That's what it was. And I think a lot of times when I say that to people now, they're like, oh, well, that's an oxymoron. And I say generally that is true. I agree with that. But at the same time, if you think of conservatism as just kind of a general skepticism can be funny because it's making fun of pretense and all that.
Sure.
But we weren't really allowed to do that with religion.
There's plenty to make fun of with progressives. I could write 2 hours of material making fun of progressives that would actually be funny, but something about the way people's brains work when they're conservative, they just want to be mean. They just want to say mean things. And it's like, mean can be funny if you're like roasting with friends or whatever, but it's not, just being mean isn't enough. That's not funny on its face.
Well, and then there's a limit on that because any roast type event, if you keep going roasting each other, after a while, you're going to want to punch the other person.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so, which is why, generally speaking, I encourage people not to do that to their friends and family members. Because I'm like, there's a lot of other bullshit in here in the world. You don't need to
tell. I mean, that is my family's love language, though. We just make fun of each other relentlessly. And a lot of times it's just mean. And that side is my dad's side roasts each other relentlessly. But they're progressives. And it's said with love. when my mom's side says anything, okay, it's just mean. It's just straight up mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And there's definitely a difference with that for sure.
Yeah. But in doing, well, and I guess I should step back. So before I was doing the comedy show, the TV show, I was doing an internet, like a very, very early YouTube show. Mm-hmm. So it grew out of a website that I had launched called Newsbusters, which was, it was kind of like a right-wing Media Matters in some sense. And it's still around, so sorry about that, guys. But, and this guy who, he worked in television out here in Southern California, he came to me one day and he was like, hey, mm-hmm. I produce shows for Byron Allen. And I'm famous a conservative and I
non-union show. Byron, for anyone that is not caught up on this, Byron bought the Weather Channel. So he owns the Weather Channel, and he also has a show called Funny Because It's True. No, something like that. Whatever it is, it's a panel show. All these comics I'm friends with write on it. It is non-union, always has been. He's so cheap. He promises raises, and then he doesn't give people raises. And he just signed a deal with, I think it was ABC, where they're licensing the show or syndicating the show. And nobody's getting a raise. Nobody's making any more money, although wow. He is making now more multi-millions of dollars. So he sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's kind of like the Eddie Murphy that time forgot is how I describe him in some sense.
That sounds like a horrible insult to Eddie Murphy.
Well, oh my God. Say, plus,
Eddie, plus, if you're like listening, Pat I don't Sajak. Feel the same way.
well,
okay. So plus, Pat Sajak, but no Eddie yeah. Murphy, I would say.
I mean, just in the sense that his own career just went nowhere. Like he everything that he runs now is stuff that he owns and built.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in movies, he's not in on HBO or Netflix sure. or things like that. That's what I mean. But anyway, and so he came to us and I at that point, this was like 2007, I think it was, or I forget. I think it was 2007. And in the right wing blogging world at that time, like Jon Stewart was the devil because we all hated that guy.
And Stan now still. Were you when you were in it then though, were you watching and thinking, wow, he is right? Like, did you ever in your journey to come over to the other side, to the dark side with us, were you ever watching stuff going, well, I mean, he does have a point?
There were a few times, yeah, where he would say stuff that I reluctantly had to agree with him. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but it feels like progressives having to admit that Trump is funny. I'm sorry, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like if he would make fun of people, I mean, like whenever he made fun of Sarah Palin, like I could not laugh at that stuff.
Oh, of course.
Because Sarah Palin is a fucking moron. And now even Republicans admit that. And
just
barely. Yeah, just barely. Yeah.
Only because she can't help them. If she could help them, then they would be singing a different tune.
Yeah, I think that's right. But nonetheless, so we all hated Jon Stewart and hated David Letterman and
of course.
And all those guys. And so to me, when he came to us and was like, hey, let's have a Weekend Update ripoff, but conservative. And I was like, yes, let's do this. Now it's time to make the joke on the left wing. And so, but the client, so I was running it through a client relationship mm-hmm. and the guy who was in charge of it didn't want to do it because he was like this super right wing Catholic humorless guy. And they were also afraid that it would be too inappropriate sometimes. I.e. sexual, making an occasional.
They thought that the conservative show would be somehow sexual?
Yeah, that we might have a dick joke here and there or whatever.
Okay, well, God forbid. You can't have that. That would
No, the world will end. And but after a lot of begging and pleading, and I had a few other people on my side, they went ahead with it and we launched it. And it was, I think, like one of the very first political YouTube shows on the platform. I mean, it was like, and we were getting like maybe somewhere between like 20 and 80,000 views an episode.
Yeah, especially back then. Like if they had kept going at it, which they didn't, which I guess is a good thing, but they would definitely have way, mm-hmm. way bigger numbers now if they had continued on it.
But yeah, like, so it was, oh, and then I should say also my partner, so basically he and I eventually went into business to
run the show.
And
he had this weird thing where he loved laugh tracks. So
amazing.
Yeah.
And like literally everyone who watched the show was like, why does this have a laugh track? Is this the 70s?
And then he would be like, well, I'll show you that we need it. And so like he would record it as normal, or like, because mm-hmm. when he was putting the laugh track in, he would have our comics, and we'd have multiple comics
come in,
and he would like make them pause for like 2 or 3 seconds after the joke was delivered to make room for the laugh track. And then, but then he'd be like, okay, now let's, so he'd ask our producer to just not put the laugh track in. So it'd be 2 awkward seconds of nothing. And then he'd be like, see, you need the laugh track there. But it's also because you had them pause for 2 seconds.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't just have to be. I just love the idea, by the way, of a show that is continuous laughter top to bottom, just kind of bubbling in the background the entire time. So the audience, after a while, I feel like that would sound menacing after a while. It's just this weird bubbling laughter continuing.
Yeah. And it was like, and our producer, he had like multiple laughs that he would put in here and there. And
yeah. And it was, and he even had groans he would put in as well. And it was, yeah, it was definitely the thing that I always hated the most about it. Mm-hmm. But also the other weird thing is that the guy who produced it for us couldn't light worth a damn. And so we had, but our comics were also had a green screen behind them. And mm-hmm. so like the greens, it was unevenly lit on them. And so like there would be all this bleed through behind them. It was just, it mm-hmm. looked so horrible, you know, and I'd be like, why can't you make this better? And he'd be like, this is the best I can do. And I'd be like, well, why are we still working with this guy? And then my partner was like, because he's fucking cheap. So, yeah, sometimes you get what you pay for.
Anyway, pretty much always you get what you pay for.
and so after that, like things kind of, they kept along in an even enough keel. And then this other guy came to us who was selling syndicated.
He distributed syndicated television shows. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what if you had a TV version of this show? And we were like, well, hell, might as well, right?
Which is the best way to start any passion project. Might as well. I mean, what else am I doing today?
Yeah, well, I mean, our thought was, yeah, if we could get someone to pay for it, then we were gonna do it. And like, and to be yeah. honest, like, you know, who, I mean, if you work in comedy in any sense, like if somebody comes up with the idea of you want to do a syndicated television show and you don't have to pay for it, why wouldn't you? You would do it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but then it depends on the person. And also syndication is something that comes later. That's not a guarantee.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, well, and so, and the guy, he definitely knew he's been doing that for years with tons of different mm-hmm. shows. So he definitely knew the business and could sell stuff.
So what year did you start to come away from conservative politics and conservative media?
This, well, so I'd say when, honestly, it was related to this show, some of it, which was called The Flip Side with Michael Loftus is the name of it. And, but like, it was like 2013, is when we started doing it. And, mm-hmm. and I was working also on a book for a big publisher about here's how Republicans can be smarter about politics. And in the course of writing it, I started thinking, oh, well, maybe they don't actually want the majority to agree with them. And maybe they don't mm-hmm. care.
Yeah, I don't think they care at all.
No, they don't. And but then I also kind of started discovering some of that in doing this show, because like, so we found a comic who, he had been a writer on Charlie Sheen's show, Anger Management. And he'd been doing stand-up for a while as well. And he was, I'm not going to say he was the funniest comic in the world or anything like that, but at least he wasn't kind of like the Mike Huckabee
Oh my God. I'm obsessed
with my comedian show.
I am obsessed. Everyone listening, please. Mike Huckabee still has a television show. Right. It is still going. And he has quote unquote comedians on there. As a comedian myself, as an actual working comedian, I don't want to call them comedians. It just seems unfair to everyone doing this. Cause it's just kind of like kids these days, huh? And then they're huge laughs, huge round of applause. The crowd goes insane and there's no setup. There's no punchline. There's no interesting point of view. And then Mike just kind of does a slap on the back of like, yeah, that's right. Kids these days. It's, I don't believe in things being so bad that they're good, but this is so bad that it's good.
Yeah. And actually it's on two different channels now. Yeah.
Incredible.
It was originally for this Catholic channel called, I think it's Catholic or maybe
a Catholic channel.
No, sorry. It is an evangelical channel called Trinity Broadcast Network. And then Mike Huckabee is also sold it to Newsmax. So if you can watch Newsmax, you can watch Mike Huckabee.
Amazing.
So. Yeah. So like our show was, we kind of patterned it after, let's say, mid-2000s Jay Leno, but more conservative. And to be honest, like mid-2000s Jay Leno was kind of anodyne. Like it was inoffensive, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like that was the vibe we were kind of going for, but more Republican oriented. And it was weird because like everyone was a critic, of course, right, of the show. So like on the one hand, so like the syndication company that we was selling the show for us, the stations they were able to come up with the most actually were these tiny little Christian stations, various states. And so like if we even got within a mile of a sex joke, they would complain.
What's an example of one that you did that they complained about?
Oh God. Honestly, they whine about so many, it's hard for me to even remember a particular one, but it was
this is a good chance to also let the audience know. I only learned this recently, and perhaps you already know this is so apparently the FCC itself as an organization does not comb through material to find things that are to find swears and things like that. It is literally groups of conservative women, like concerned mothers or whatever, watching things, listening, and then complaining to the FCC. And television has actually, there's a lot of conservative comics. Jerry Seinfeld just made a comment yesterday in an interview. He's so out of touch. It's unreal. But he just made a comment that television is so woke now. And I'm like, it's more conservative now. Just overall, the FCC is coming down harder on more television and radio and generally.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. That is. And actually, here's the other funny thing is that the organization that was financing my first show, they had a sister organization which did that exact thing, make FCC complaints. And so like there was definitely an irony in that regard, but like, and that was why we didn't want them to be involved with our TV show, because that was definitely there. I'm absolutely sure that some of the people who watched our show complained about it and were members of the group. I would have to imagine that. That would be hilarious if I could find someone who did complain about it, but yeah.
is there anybody that you worked with in right-wing television or media, whatever, that you got to come over to the other side, to the dark side with you, or two that you're still friends with in spite of things?
Well, not on the TV side, no. And I did convert a couple of people. I have converted a few people actually, but on the comedy side, no, they've all uniformly stayed where they were. And a lot of it just simply is their religious beliefs. So like one of the guys who was a writer on both of the shows, he said, so this was like toward the end of the show that we did, we did two seasons of it. And Donald Trump and Ted Cruz were kind of running against each other in 2016, right? And I was saying to him, well, why Ted Cruz is a total lame ass authoritarian asshole. Why would you support him? And sure. He said to me, and this is a comedy writer, he said, because that's what the Christians are doing. Yeah.
That's very discouraging.
Yep. And this is, yeah, and this is a guy who absolutely never like did anything overtly at all. Mm-hmm. Never like prayed over his meals or read the Bible or any shit like that. Didn't do a goddamn thing of that stuff, as far as I knew. And swore just as much as anybody else did. Like just on the surface, you wouldn't think that he would say something like that, but totally did. So And I think I've said this on Doomscroll before, that for, especially for a lot of women who are on the right wing, it's all because of religion for them. Like I, having worked in Republican politics for like 15 years, I could count on one hand the number of women who were in Republican politics who were not religious, because like there just really isn't any advantage to you to be a woman with that viewpoint. Like you're going to support a party that wants to subjugate you. The only reason you'd want to do that is if you thought that God wanted you to do that. I can't imagine. Secular conservative women, Lisa, have you known any?
No. No, although I think I've known a lot of people that like fresh out of college when they're sorting their brain out and their brain's still not fully grown. I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm fiscally conservative and socially liberal. There's no such thing. That's not a real thing. You can't be, because if you're socially liberal, then that means you're in favor of programs that help people that need help. So what do you mean? What do you mean fiscally conservative? Because fiscally conservative never applies to the military budget. Never. It always applies to like cutting school lunch education. For kids, cutting education, taking away healthcare from the no healthcare we have somehow, that's a feat in itself. Abandoning the homeless. It's never the military budget. Mm-hmm. So anyway, no. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, that's definitely, I should say like the guy who was our investor in the show, he was like a Ayn Rand atheist. So he loved Ayn Rand. And Ayn Rand is not at all comedic at all.
Please don't make fun of me, just because like Ayn Rand is referenced a ton and I had never read any of her work. So I just read The Fountainhead. And when I tell you, I fucking hated it. I was like, this is one of the stupidest pieces of literature of all time. It's not even well written. The first third of it, I was like, okay, I get it. I understand these characters and everything. And then as it goes on, it is stupider and stupider. And it's like sci-fi. It's so disconnected from reality. And then toward the end, a couple of the characters become way too self-aware and they're breaking other people down psychologically to them. And I'm like, this isn't real human behavior. It was just so fucking stupid. And I can't believe that's a popular. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just had to go off. I'm so mad that I wasted my time on that. I can never get that time back.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say is that, you didn't miss anything and don't bother because you're not missing anything. But yeah. And so I don't know how I guess how he was interested in humor was because he was an atheist and he did like to have jokes about religion, but we couldn't have too many of them because of course that was who our stations were. And so like, and that was a lot of the, I mean, and I, a lot of, there was just this constant tension that we always had and people like Dave Chappelle or some of these guys that seem to be unable to have a comedy show without having a joke about trans people. Like, to them, the tensions that I was under were way, way, way worse than anything mm-hmm. those guys have ever dealt with. Because, mm-hmm. like, I literally, we couldn't be too mean to religion. We couldn't be too mean to Republicans. We couldn't be too sexual. We couldn't be too, we couldn't swear. Like, all these things. And that we were having to try to figure out, well, how the hell do we do something here? Mm-hmm. and so we were constantly having to do that. And in retrospect, if I look back at some of the old shows now, like, I'm not that big of a fan of them. But there are a few things mm-hmm. here and there that are funny when I watch them. And I actually, I'll say, like, the one monologue that I wanted to do that we never did was, I wrote a monologue saying Donald Trump is going to win the 2016 Republican nomination. Oh. I wrote that in October of 2015.
Mm.
yeah. And I was like, he's going to win it because the Republican Party sucks. And mm-hmm. he's telling the truth that they suck. And that they're, and all of my colleagues were like, people are going to hate us if we run this. And plus, no way, Donald Trump's not going to win. People aren't going to vote for him. Mm-hmm. You're going to look like a fool if we run this. And I was like, no, this is right. I'm right about this. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. And of course,
here you are. Right. And what do you think about this here?
About what?
Do you think he's going to take the election this year? Final thought.
Oh, this year. Oh, I thought you meant this here. I actually don't think he's going to win because...
God, I hope not. Oh, I hope you're right. What a living hell that would be.
Yeah, well, it's mainly just because I think that there's... Well, number one, Biden is the incumbent. And then number mm-hmm. two is that Biden actually held...
Is Biden life. Or is Trump the incumbent? Now.
Well, yeah, you always have to correct me on that, Lisa. That's true. Yeah.
Once again, here you are saying that Joe Biden is the president.
Fact checking.
Yeah, sorry to step on your toes on the show in real time.
But, you know, and like, but I do think that to some degree Biden held his fire because mm-hmm. he wanted Trump to get overexposed. Mm-hmm. And after 9 years of running for the president, mm-hmm. I think he's kind of overexposed.
I think so.
And for somebody like him, that's seems to be the only thing that some people will
think is a bad thing about him because they're stupid. Like,
actually, NBC just came out with a poll this week that they were showing, like, when the type of news source that you use, right? Mm-hmm. And what is your political opinion? And the people who didn't look at the news at all, the majority of them, a sizable majority of them, were in favor of Donald Trump. That's who likes Donald Trump.
Of course.
So, like,
of course.
Yeah. And then, like, it was basically like people who watched their news.
So, like, who got used YouTube? Like, if you use YouTube for news, mm-hmm. you're a fucking moron. Like, because any idiot can have a YouTube channel, including us. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess a more pointed way to say that would be like if you use YouTube to just watch any random person, because you can watch ABC on YouTube, you can watch CBS on YouTube.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway.
And so, but then, and then if you go down the line, like the more you read, the people who use newspaper organizations as mm-hmm. their website, as their news, those mm-hmm. ones were overwhelmingly for Biden. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't get any more illustration of just how dumb, like all, like when Trump said, I love the poorly educated, he wasn't kidding.
Yeah, he means it. And I think all Republicans mean that. Well, I think it's going to be a really great book, Matt. I'm really excited for when you sell it and for when it comes out. And I think people are going to really fucking love it. It's really intense. There's a lot more in there besides the comedy show, the defunct comedy show that you worked on.
Yeah, it's definitely been a process. And yeah, sometimes when I tell people my stories, sometimes they're like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. This has actually happened to you.
And they'll get to read it now. And it's way better than The Fountainhead. I promise you all that. It's way better than the fucking Fountainhead. Yeah. He's a much better writer than Ayn Rand. That fucking asshole, wasting my life.
Well, on that note, I guess we'll wrap it up here then.
And, yeah. Thank you guys for listening. And next week we'll be back with a regular episode.
Yep. So we'll see you later.
Yeah. See ya. Bye.